This is an occasion, if you haven't noticed, of really rare and stunning quality, isn't it? A time I don't think any of us could have ever imagined years ago. Never would I have imagined what God would do. What the Lord has brought to pass in this precious local church is nothing less than spectacular. And His good providence has revealed itself over time. And there are many firsts occurring this morning. For the first time, I have the co-privilege to install a man who replaced me as the pastor of this church, a man who is my friend, and a man and his family who Beth and I, upon first meeting them, we loved them instantly. By the way, it is utterly unfair to any other pastor for a fellow pastor to be named Moses, don't you think? It's completely rude and uncalled for. For the first time, most of you will be privileged to be in the presence of a master seminary professor, a humble, Christ-exalting pastor in Dr. Brian Murphy. And perhaps most importantly this morning, for the first time in my time of preaching here, you will not have to follow a sermon outline the size of a small novel. And if I would have known I had more than 30 minutes, you would have gotten one of those. It is such an honor to be here. It's such a surreal moment indeed. It's beyond description, I could tell you. And for gracious hearts in this body who got our whole family here, we thank you so much. To have everyone here means everything to my wife and I, to be here with you. May we begin this morning, otherwise I'll be rambling here this morning. Notice Colossians, what Paul says beginning at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. This text tells us what it's like to live together as a church where Christ is all and in all. But in order to see that, to discover that, you have to back up to verse 9 and work our way forward from there. Notice Colossians 3, verse 9. Paul says that Christians have laid aside or have taken off like a garment, the old self with its evil practices. Christians have laid aside or they have taken off like a garment, the old self with its evil practices. That's exactly what happened at conversion. Our old unbelieving self died. And we sloughed it off like a butterfly sloughs off its old worm-like cocoon when the springtime of salvation comes. Then verse 10, notice, states the positive counterpart to the sloughing off of the old self. Colossians 3, verse 10 says that Christians have put on the new self. They have put on the new self. They've put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So in conversion, what happened was this. We sloughed off an old self and we put on a new self. But we did not just decide to do this. We did not just make it happen ourselves. Verse 12, notice, makes very clear the one who was behind this radical transformation, behind this new birth. Verse 12, Paul refers to believers as those who have been chosen of God. They're chosen of God, holy and loved. So the reason we experience the sloughing off of our old self and the putting out of a new self was that God loved us and chose us and set us apart as holy to the Lord. We are elect. We are holy and loved. In other words, God took the initiative with us. God elected. God sanctified. God loved. Now that is important. Why is it important beyond the obvious? Because God was up to something when He did this. He was up to something when He did this. And what He was up to was this: in creating new people in His own image and by His own power, He was obliterating characteristics. He was destroying distinctions in which we could boast. Obliterating and destroying the distinctions. Distinctions that separated us and made us suspicious, that made us distrustful, jealous, and puffed up. See, His aim in creating new people is that they would stop boasting in their distinctives that separated them and boast in Christ who united them. That's the point of verse 11. Notice it. Which refers back to verse 10, where the new self has been put on and is being renewed. And Paul says that in the fellowship created by these new people who are chosen, holy, and loved, Colossians 3:11 says there is what? There is no distinction. There is no distinction. No distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. No distinction. In other words, God is creating a new community out of people who have sloughed off their old selves, put on their new selves, and the trait of this new, chosen, loved, holy community is first that the people in it stop cherishing the things that separate Greek and Jew. Circumcised and uncircumcised. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. They stop cherishing those things that separate those groups. The new people in the new community do not boast in ethnic distinctives. They do not boast in their language, their intellect, their culture, their race, their homeland, their social status. Why? Because there is no what? Distinction. There is no distinction. Therefore, as you live your lives as a new community of people, of new people and a new community, you do not boast in your superior intellect. You do not boast in your superior financial resources. You do not boast in the way you choose to educate your children. You do not boast in your accomplishments, your status in the community. You do not boast in your family pedigree. You do not boast in your ministry endeavors, your education, and even in your political biases. You boast in none of it. They have all been obliterated, destroyed. All those characteristics that once separated us from one another have passed away. Passed away. You know what the number one primary mark of newness in the new people and the new community is? It is that Christ is all and in all. Notice on your outline, don't miss this all-important point, really a climactic point from Paul. At the end of verse 11, he says, notice, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. So if you ask, what's new about the new self of verse 10? What's new about the new community of new persons? The answer is, for them, Christ is what? Is all. In all of them, Christ is all. See, we once boasted in our culture and our intellect like the Greeks, but now Christ is all. We once gloried in our tradition and our religious rigor like the Jews, but now Christ is, you would say, that was really good. Christ is all. I haven't gotten to say that to you in a long time. Thank you. Once we got our strokes because of our ethnic pedigree, but now Christ is all. Once we reveled in not being like the barbarians and those disgusting, offensive Scythians, but now Christ is all. Once you and I struggled to find our significance and our happiness and our security in what we were in relation to other people. We're Jews. We're Greeks. We're circumcised. We're free. We're American. We're rich. We're smart. We're strong. We're pretty. We're witty. We're cool. But when we sloughed off the old self and we put on the new self, and the core essence of the new self is that Christ is all. Christ is all. Paul says it so clearly, doesn't he? Galatians 2, verse 20. Notice, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives. Christ lives. Well, really all of that is to tell you what I want to show you this morning. I simply want to show you a kind of archway that leads into this divine season for this precious church. The providential time for this church, which God has been pleased to make known. Pastor Moses alluded to it in his opening remarks. And I simply want you to see something. As Pastor Moses and the men prepare to shepherd the flock, as God's providential purposes are revealed in each step, I want you to see this day a huge banner stretched across this worship center. And on that banner are the words, Christ is all. Christ is all. Christ is all because no matter what the activity is, no matter what the issue is, no matter what the idea is, no matter what the subject in school is, no matter what your vocation is, no matter what the TV program, it exists for Christ or for nothing. It rests on Christ or it rests on nothing because Christ is all. He is all that matters about everything. Perhaps some of you this morning might be thinking, did I just step into some old-time tent revival meeting or what? I mean, you ask, what's the big deal here? Why are we stressing out that Christ is all? Why? I stress this because I tremble at the thought that Christ could be swallowed up in any of our ministries as important as they are. Everything you were about, including your ministry and your relationships, must be swallowed up in Him so that Christ is all and in all. I stress this because the world never stresses it, and you spend most of your time in the world. And there's a whole lot of world in the church. If you get to know Pastor Murphy, Dr. Brian Murphy, if you're around him long enough, he will tell you he's just a short guy from Ohio. That's what he'll tell you. But the truth is that Christ is all to him. And he has never gotten over Christ. He has never gotten over the person of Christ. And I exhort you and implore you in the practical living of your Christian life, may Christ be all. In every dimension, in every crevice of your soul, may Christ be all and in all. And I stress Christ is all because it's the very heart of the Scriptures, the heart of the new community, the heart of the true local church, the heart of the new creation in Christ, the new Christian self. By the way, is not the flow of thought here magnificent and compelling? Verse 9, we put off the old self. Verse 10, we put on the new self. And in verse 11, we stop getting our meaning by comparing ourselves to others. Why? Because Christ is... Because Christ is all.
That's awesome.
Because Christ is all. Which means that the new thing about the new self is that Christ and not self is all. The new thing about this new self standing before you is that Christ and not me is all. And so for the first time, what's so precious here about the new self is we can forget about ourselves and be swept up in Christ. For the new self and for the new community, Christ is our success. Christ is our significance. Christ is our fulfillment. Christ is our satisfaction. Christ is our security. Christ is our peace because Christ is all. Christ is all in your life together here as a church. Christ is all. Now I'm about to throw a wrench in this for you. You need to be really clear about something. It's not enough to simply say Christ is all. If that were enough, then the rest of Colossians would not have been written. By the way, God might have done it that way. Follow me for a minute, will you? He might have created in you a new self that was so complete and so perfect that you would have intuitively acted in perfect purity, perfect love, and perfect justice without ever praying a prayer, without ever reading your Bible, and never having to be in process, as verse 10 says, being renewed. He could have done it that way. The new self could have been created with such unbroken focus on Christ as all, there would be no need for a preacher to be like preaching to you that Christ is all. There would have been no need for questions that this body has struggled with and have directly impacted our people through the years. Questions such as, how is Christ our all when the baby dies? How is Christ our all when a spouse dies? How is Christ my all when cancer strikes? When cancer strikes twice. How is Christ our all when the marriage is tottering? How is Christ my all when I keep on doing what I hate? How is Christ my all when my beloved mother dies? How is Christ my all when my body is failing? You see, the new self could have come into being with no need for preaching and no need for those kinds of questions to ever have been asked. It could have come with all the garments in place, wrinkle-free. Got it? Right? Wrinkle-free. It could have come that way, but it didn't. It didn't. Instead, it comes, as verse 10 says, in the process of being made new. It is born becoming. It is new in order to become new. Christ is all that He might become all in all. Notice verse 12 again. Notice it. And so verse 12 says, to those who have put on the new self, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the garments of your newness. You have come to know and experience that Christ is all. Now Paul says, ready? Show how people relate to each other for whom Christ is what? Loud and clear.
All.
All. Confirm that Christ is your all by what you become for others in the new community. Paul says it looks like this. Notice with me, please. When Christ is our all, we will, he says, put on a heart. We will put on a heart of compassion. When Christ is our all, we will put on a heart of kindness. of humility, gentleness, and patience. When Christ is our all, we will bear with one another, forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, when Christ is our all, beyond all these things, we will put on love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This is stunning, isn't it? When Christ is all, this is the way we will live with each other. And people will know that Christ is all when they see you living that way with each other. This will be the portrait. As you live and move with each other as new creatures making up a new community. And if this remains so among you, then the heart of this man who stands humbly before you will rejoice whether I ever stand in your presence again or only hear of you. And with Paul I can say, notice what he says in Philippians, and I speak it from my heart to you this morning as we close. If these things remain so among you, then I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Be exalted in what has been said, O God. Be pleased in us now and in the days that lie ahead.